Blog Talk Radio.
Small businesses are the heart of the American economy. They're responsible for half of all private sector jobs. And they create roughly 70% of all new jobs in the past decade. Small businesses are not only job generators, they're also at the heart of the American dream. After all, these are businesses born in family meetings around kitchen tables. Born when a worker takes a chance on her desire to be her own boss. They're born when a part-time inventor becomes a full-time entrepreneur. Or when somebody sees a product that could be better, a service that could be smarter, and they think, well, why not me? Let me try it. Let me take my shot.
Good evening out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Welcome to the Business Coaching Corner. I am your host, Emmanuel Neal, a business coach, owner of Free Thought Business Coaching, LLC. And I am glad to be here talking to you and bringing you another entrepreneur and guest. Our guest for this evening is the author, Lainey Smith. She is an author that is doing wonderful things, great things. She is the author of the Lock Creek series. It's a series of books featuring Sheriff Derek Decker. And it's set in, I honestly don't know the town, but I'll let her tell you all about that when she checks in. But for now, she is giving us a call. Hold on, let me check with her real quick and see where she's at. Okay, sorry about that. Just making sure that she knows that we're here and we are waiting for her to check in. I'm really excited to have her on. She's going to tell us about some exciting new developments going on with her book, as well as the business of writing and publishing. And one of the things I really want her to touch on is the self-promotion and how to really get your name out there, how to really communicate and build rapport with a lot of other authors and people in the industry. So I'm really looking forward to her tuning in. She'll be calling in very, very soon. Until then, I just want to let you know that we are here on Tuesdays. The schedule might change as time goes on, but we're here, and the goal of this show is to talk to entrepreneurs and get their take on their businesses and what it takes to be successful. And as the show further develops, I'm going to be talking to leaders in industry and talking about leadership principles and getting their take on how to lead an organization and, you know, how to build a coaching culture within the organization and all of that good stuff. But for now, let's welcome author Lainey Smith. Hello, Lainey. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing well. I am so glad to hear your voice, my friend and colleague. How's your day been?
It's been great. I'm out with the family. Dinner took a little longer than we planned, but I'm here.
Well, give my apologies to the fam for cutting in on dinner time, telling, you know, mom is building empires and, you know, it can be a little bit cold. At least your serving will be a little bit cold.
they're good with it because now they can be on their phone and whatever while they're eating, so they don't care.
Exactly.
So I was telling people that
I am great. I am great. I'm more blessed than stressed. No complaints. You know how
good.
I get down.
Good. Yes, I know how it goes.
Yep. I was telling people about your Lock Creek series and how you're doing some wonderful things, writing and some of your exciting developments. Tell people who you are and about your writing.
Okay. I am Lainey Smith, and I am best known for the Lock Creek Time Capsule series. I do have other books that are out also. I've dabbled in writing in horror and also writing a psychological thriller. Typically, I write romance, and it's more contemporary romance than like Harlequin or something like that. However, with the Lock Creek Time Capsule series, it's kind of, it's a crossover, if an author can do that. There's romantic mystery in it. There's crime drama. There's a lot of different genres mixed in that one series. And that one series has the ability to, there's really no particular kind of reader that that series grabs. I've got men readers, I've got women reading it, teachers, police wives. It really doesn't matter. It kind of is all over the board. And that, to me, is something very magical. I can't claim that I did that on purpose, but there's something magical with Lock Creek that just about anybody can relate to it in some way or another. And they end up addicted to it because they can relate to it. It's real world. So it's fun, and I love it. And as of the current moment in time, it is in the works for becoming a television series. So that's really exciting.
Tell us about that. That was the exciting development that I was hinting towards, and I wanted to definitely say congratulations. I'm so proud of you. Tell us
Thank
about
you.
That.
Well, as you know, I have a radio show that I do thanks to you, and it's the second Monday of every month. And one of those, back in May, I had film producer Brigida Thorson on my show, and she was telling any author that was interested how to go about getting their books to screen. And she kind of opened the door to any author to address her and have their work reviewed for film. So probably the next morning, about 4 o'clock, I sent my books in for her to review, and she came back and wanted to take them. Initially, I had wanted to go for a movie for them, but as she reviewed them, she said that she felt like it would take too much out of it. Like, we've all gone to movies and seen them that were based on books, and we felt like the movie was lacking some way. And it's because they're taking 300 to 500 pages and cutting it down to 120 pages. So she came back and said that she felt like to make it a movie would take too much of the story away. And so she felt like making it as a television series would be able to include more of that. So that's the route we're kind of working on going.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I have to admit that I need to send her mine as well. I'm curious to see if she has an idea for my poetry and what can be done with it. I know someone did. I did have a playwright that did a play out of my first book, I Just Met Ranning. So I'm curious to see what she might think and say. So thank you for reminding me to follow up with her. Yeah, it's been a while now. This wonderful playwright did a play, and it came out pretty good. We didn't stage the play or anything, and I haven't communicated with her in a while. But I am curious to see what Brigitte might think about my books. So I will.
Get them to her.
Thanks for reminding me to send it to her. I will.
Yeah,
I will.
It's absolutely awesome to work with.
Yeah,
anything
and I'm
she
gonna
can
bring
do,
you
I know
back.
She'll do it for you.
Yeah, the interview that you had with her was so great, and she's so knowledgeable and friendly and open, and that was a really educational interview. So I'm glad that you were able to talk to her. I hope a lot of people listened because they could get a lot from listening to her. So again, thank you for reminding me to follow up on her. Hopefully she's listening now. Hey, Miss Queen Bee.
Hey. Hey, girl. Hey.
I'm gonna bring you back. I'm gonna bring you back at some point to talk about the business of the books being made into a TV series and what your experience was with that. But let's talk about
the
business of writing.
Stage.
Yeah, at the contract stage. Okay. That must be pretty exciting as well.
It's all negotiation, and you know how that goes.
Exactly.
Yep.
So let's talk about this business of publishing. I've talked to you on the other show about your creativity, and we've gotten into your stories more in depth. But I want to talk about the business and your approach to writing and especially your self-promotion. For people out there, you can check out Lainey on Twitter. I'll let you give them your Twitter address or whatever. But she is so great at building a rapport with people and just communicating with people and encouraging and motivating. Tell us about your thought process with the self-promotion.
Well, to be honest with you, you have to act like you are the most narcissistic person you know, because if you can't sell your books, got to be able to bring people in. They will help you. They will get to the point where they help promote you. But to get them in to start with, you have to have a certain level of arrogance. And it sounds really ugly, and nobody wants to be that person. But for a little bit, you have to be that person, because you have to be able to tell people, hey, this is a really great book, and hey, I wrote this really awesome book. If you can't say that, then you're not going to be able to pull people in. And once you're able to pull them in, you better have something good that they can run around, and then they'll run and tell people, hey, this is a really awesome book. So little by little, you have to do less and less of that. But to begin with, you have to be full of yourself, and nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to be that person because it's ugly. But you have to be able to pull them in. And so to be able to be arrogant enough to tell people, hey, I wrote the most awesome book, you're going to love it, it's great. Nobody's going to want to read something if you go, yeah, I wrote a book. So you have to be able to be your biggest fan for a little bit. Once people start reading it, then it kind of backs off. You can back off a little bit, and you can become the more happy, natural, fun person. But until you get people in to read it, you really do. You have to really act like you're the best thing there ever was. Rather you believe it or not, you've got to be able to put that out there. And it's embarrassing a lot of times, because, you know, when I first started, I remember a guy was messaging me, you know, I saw an advertisement for your book, I'm just curious what it's about, blah, blah, blah. So I told him what it was about, and, you know, it's really great, you're going to love it. And he says, well, if it's so great, why are you the only one I'm hearing talking about it? That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But, like, in my case, I'm an indie person. So I don't do it because I couldn't get a publishing contract or whatever. I've done other things under different situations, but I could get a publishing contract, but I want to retain my rights. This is my very first, you know, Lock Creek was my very first published work, and I'm still learning. And so much of that, you know, when you sign contracts, you have no idea what terminology means. You know, you're new to this business. So you're trusting someone else, and you have no idea what you're signing. So for me, it just made more sense to hold on to it. But when you hold on to it, then you are your advertising department, your promotion department, your sales department, your everything. And it's exhausting, but it is so worth it. So
Excellent, excellent words. And you are so true, especially, like you said, being an indie artist, and technology has made self-publishing a whole lot easier and a whole lot more accessible for more people. But at the same time, yeah, you do have to do that work. So as an indie author, what platform or how have you been publishing your books?
CreateSpace, because I'm not one of the technology kind of people. I'm really tech stupid, and I'm thankful that I have two boys that are really tech smart, because I have no idea what I'm doing with all that. And so there's a lot of times that I can't figure out various platforms. So I go to CreateSpace because it seems to be idiot-proof. It seems to be the only way I can do it and not look stupid.
I am very much with you. I use CreateSpace as well, and I've tried a couple other platforms, and I'm just like you in that aspect, especially when you're learning. You need something that's easy. You know, we're artists. We don't want to do all that extra stuff.
I
use CreateSpace, and I steer people towards CreateSpace as well.
I'm with you there. Yeah. I don't know all the file formatting and, you know, converting files and all that stuff. It kind of blows my mind. So, I use CreateSpace because it's dummy-proof.
Cool. So everybody out there, you're an aspiring author, createspace.com. They need to pay us for this. Createspace.com is an excellent platform. I highly recommend it, and it easily attaches to Amazon as well. And one of the great things about CreateSpace is they do, you can set up your own page so that you can have a link and send people right directly to your page, and they can buy your book off your page, et cetera. Great tip, Lainey. Appreciate that one. So another thing that I specifically wanted to ask you about, and I have an aspiring author who's been talking about writing something for quite a while now. We've been conversing off and on every now and then for almost a year now about her book. And in fact, she was one of the reasons that I started writing under the Influence Media, not media, but writing under Influence, the blog talk show, talking to authors for them to give information and motivation. And by the way, Lainey's show is Lainey's World on blogtalkradio.com/WUI. So check her out. She's great. She interviews great authors, and she's just a great conversationalist. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, though, she brought up something which I thought was interesting, and I wanted to get your take on it. How do you deal with writing something that might be uncomfortable to the reader? Maybe you think it might hurt their feelings, or they might not take it the way you meant it, or whatever. Talk about that process a little bit, if you can.
Sure. But just so I can make sure I understand, can you give me an example? Like, are we talking about, like, rape, or do you have a specific example?
Well, she has a story. She says it's a great story, and she's been wrestling with putting it out. And basically, the gist is dealing with being ostracized and alienated from her family. You know, I don't think it's abuse or rape or anything like that, but just dealing with family that, you know, didn't treat her so nice, and she had to overcome it and deal with, you know, finding her own strength. And, you know, many of us have that story. You know, family can be, you know, special people. But she says she has a great story, but she's kind of concerned with some of the things might hurt their feelings or whatever. And I believe you have experience with writing material that some people might be shocked or surprised or whatever with. So how do you how do you deal with that?
Number one of my favorite things that I've ever seen on Facebook was if people were worried about the words you were going to write about them, maybe they should have treated you better. I absolutely love that because there's a lot to that. And if they don't like reading what you write about them, maybe they should have treated you better. And if they have something to hide, they shouldn't have done it. And we all make mistakes and we all have those things that we look back and wish we hadn't done. But when you repeatedly do something that's shameful or that you would be embarrassed for the world to know, you shouldn't have done it. And so anytime I have an author that asks me, you know, well, what about this? You know, I don't want them to get their feelings hurt. Okay, I understand what you're saying. And you can always tweak a story. I have what he's done. That one's written based on actual events. However, I have fictionalized the story because obviously if you're not there witnessing it all yourself, you're missing a lot of detail. So you have to fill those in. That becomes fiction at that point. And then, like in my case with my story, I changed the names of the real people. So it's a story based on reality, and it's a story based on real people. But I've changed the names in the story so that if they see it and they recognize, oh, my goodness, that's me, prove it, you know. If I wrote something you can relate to, that's really cool. But at the same time, if that's something you want to lay claim to, that's fine. But prove that it was you because it's not your name, you know. So there's ways around it where you can write something and it and have it be therapeutic, but you can also avoid hurting people's feelings and ostracizing yourself from your family if they treated you badly. And, you know, you change the names, you change the places maybe, you change the events up a little bit. At the time, when you release the fictionalized version of that, how many people are going to come forward and claim that, you know, those bad things? So if they do come forward and claim those things, that's on them. But you still get the therapy of telling the story, and you don't have the downside that goes with it unless they want to claim their responsibility, their ownership of those actions. But at that point, that's them putting themselves out there, not the person writing it. So I'm all for people telling the truthful events of their life, because I don't think anything should be wasted. And I don't think we go through the things we go through to just walk away from them and forget them. There's a reason you went through it. And if you're compelled to write about it, it's probably because somewhere in the world, somebody else needs to see. They're not the only one going through that. And every person that writes anything will have an audience. And there's no such thing as a bad story or, you know, a bad subject or anything like that, because every person that writes has an audience. So I just think that they should do whatever they feel comfortable doing, and if they're worried about family, change the name.
Excellent insight. I appreciate that, and one of the things that, you know, I tried to contribute was that, you know, more people will probably be helped than hurt from the story. So, you know, there might be those family members, but those, like you said, there's always an audience, and other people that you don't know are going to be touched, and they might have had that experience, and they'll be able to draw something from it. So, you know, but yeah, fictionalizing it, changing the names and all of that, that's an excellent idea, excellent input, and I'm glad that you brought that up.
I also know of another author. He wrote a book. He's going through the same thing, having his book made into a documentary type thing. He wrote about his family members specifically, and he mentioned them by name. And he was telling me that he was really worried. Oh, you know, I'm really upset. They're not going to want their name in the book. They're not going to want to be out in front of everybody like that. And I told him, I said, well, talk to them and give them the choice, because if you automatically make that choice for them, then you take them out of the book. They read about themselves and they're disappointed, like you were embarrassed to know them and you didn't put their name in the book, even though these things are them. But if you don't talk to them and you just leave it, then they may be offended that you put their life out there. So he went back and he talked to his family, and come to find out, they were all okay being named in his book and they were excited about it. But it was something that he had worried about. So a lot of times we think people are going to react a certain way, and then we're surprised when we find out they actually aren't taking it the way we thought they would. So it's kind of a fun thing. If you're in a position where you can ask the people, then I'm all for that. Something that she's comfortable to talk to them about, I say just fictionalize it, because there's no reason a great story shouldn't be told.
Excellent. Another great tip that was just go to them and tell them, you know, tell them what your thoughts are and let them have the choice. So, I hadn't thought about that, so appreciate that. Where can your books be found? Where can people purchase your books and check you out at?
I am on Amazon. I'm on barnesandnoble.com. I have my Facebook page. That's my author page. I've got buy links on just about any page I'm on. I believe I have them on Twitter also. So I do my best to make myself as accessible to everybody as I can. I'm on Instagram. I don't do Reddit because that one blows my mind. Have you ever done Reddit?
I'm familiar with Reddit, but I haven't been on it. I haven't gotten on Instagram yet. There's just so many social media sites that it's like, okay.
There is. Well, I decided I was going to do Reddit. I got on Reddit. That's like getting on the freeway on a bicycle with a busted chain, square wheels, the handlebars are crooked, and you're in the fast lane. I can't figure that out to save my life, but that scared me to death. Those people were running, zipping, zinging all around me. I had no clue what was going on. To this minute, I don't know how to do Reddit. So if you can imagine me on a bike, square wheels, it was scary to me. So I don't do that one. But otherwise, I'm pretty much out there, I believe. So,
okay,
yeah, there's high links all over.
Cool. So, yeah, check her out, people. Stalk her. Like I said, Facebook.
I love friends.
Right. And she will talk to you and talk your ear off, and you'll love her as well. So look her up, stalk her, and her books are great. So you are making a living as a full-time writer, correct?
I am. That's all I do. I'm a full-time writer.
So tell me a little bit about that challenge, you know, especially from the business point of view, because, you know, like I said, we're artists and authors, really, like you said, you really have to push and self-promote. But tell me about jumping in and doing it full-time and your fears, anticipations, successes, et cetera, with doing that, and how do you handle that and the business aspect of it?
The best thing I can tell anybody, it doesn't work for everybody, but me personally, if I sit around and I watch numbers, I forget what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. So I don't watch numbers. I have somebody that keeps up with that for me. When I have a slow period, when there's no activity or whatever, that person lets me know, hey, just so you know, there hasn't been much happening. That tells me I'm not promoting enough. So as long as I don't hear anything from them and the royalty checks keep going to the bank, I'm good. But if I watch numbers, I really do. I become obsessed with, oh, I did this many today. Now what if I do this many tomorrow? That's the wrong attitude. It really is, because the reason I started doing this was because I wanted to entertain people. I had had so many people through my life tell me I needed to write a book. I needed to write a book. And I have tried so many times, and it just wasn't there, and it just didn't happen. And somehow, through my life, I've been thrown into writing in some form or another. I was working as a journalist for a local paper here, and I never saw myself doing that. And I'm still puzzled. I'm not real sure how that ended up happening exactly. But, you know, it just somehow this just kept happening, and it seemed like something I was supposed to do. And Christmases and things like that, I would get journals from my mom, you know, blank journals. And she would tell me, here, fill this book with a story for me. So I ended up writing. I published this book. And I did it because all these people that felt like I could do it. I wanted to entertain. I wanted to tell a fun story. I wanted to give people an escape. And I've done those things. But if I start watching numbers, I forget. So I can't do that, because that's not why I'm doing this. I don't care if I sell one book, or if I never sell another book, or if I am on the bestsellers list next week. I don't care. I want to be able to entertain people. So the business side of it, I have somebody that takes care of that.
That's a great insight, actually. Having somebody else to look at those numbers and then letting you know that, you know, where you're at, and that you have to step up your promotion. Now, have you worked with other people? Have you gotten yet into other people helping you to promote? And, you know, what are your thoughts going forward on maybe a marketing team or something? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
I think when you first start out, you can do it all yourself. I believe that, because I've done that. I'm getting to a point now where, as you said, there's so many social media sites, and you go and you respond to messages, or you respond to tweets, or catch up with questions from Facebook or whatever. By the time you're done, you have no time to write. There does come a point where I believe it is very worth it to have a marketing team, or to have, you know, an assistant somehow. I think I've probably gotten to that point. So now my thing is, I'm kind of considering going and finding a literary agent, because, you know, as I mentioned, I have a contract in my hands, and it's great. It's beautiful, but I don't know enough. I haven't learned enough to know that if I find this, everything's great. So I know Brigida, and I trust her. She's a great lady, and, you know, there's no issues that way. But the point is, you don't always have that. You don't always have that luxury. So I think you need to have people or educate yourself in every dimension, and there's so many more dimensions than you know when you start out. So I'm all about having teams, but I think to start out with a team is kind of, it's kind of taking a big step rather than the baby steps. Because everybody wants money. Everybody wants to be paid. And when you start out, you're not going to make the money to pay them. So you kind of run in reverse.
And what that brings to mind as you were talking. Yeah, what it brought, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what it brought to mind as you were talking is you may want to even look into the local colleges and offer internships. For, you know, the marketing and promotions, for social media people, et cetera. And they can help you.
That's a great
idea. And then they're getting college credit, and you are an established author, so it's not like you're just somebody, you know, just fly by night that just needs some help or whatever. You actually are a credible professional that can teach them, and they would actually, you know, really benefit from working with you. So
that's a great idea.
Just something to consider. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that idea, actually. I love internships, anything where somebody can learn something, because I know, you know, I've done internships myself over time for various things, and I've learned so much. So that's a great idea.
Well, cool. Glad we're here tossing these ideas around. That's the process behind this show. And I knew that you would have some nuggets of wisdom anyway. So glad that that we can share. What are your thoughts with bringing your sons into the business? I know that you've mentioned them before. I know that, you know, I think you're old. I don't know if he's your oldest, but I think one just turned 14, if I recall. You know, I stalk you on Facebook and Twitter. So what are your thoughts on that in terms of them getting in and the family legacy and all of that good stuff? Where are you on that?
You know, my kids have been incredible through all this. They really have. My oldest is 17, and he's really big into audiovisual type stuff. So he likes doing that. And, you know, he had this fantasy that he would be able to record Lock Creek and make it a movie for me. And it's just very cute, the support that's there. And anytime I have a book signing, he tells me, "Mom, I'm your road crew and your bodyguard." And he'll go with me anywhere. He doesn't care where I go. And he hauls the boxes around. You know, he's got this down to where he can set everything up and have it ready for me to go in about 5-10 minutes. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. And he does it. He wants to do that. You know, that's not me sitting there telling him, "You do this." And it's really great because that's something he wants to do. My youngest one is 14, and he wants to be involved. Like, he loves reading other people's work and writing reviews. And I know that there's a few of them out there that have sent him signed copies of their books, and he loves that. He thinks that's the greatest thing. And he was trying to find a book that was written that would give him the same feeling that watching the movie The Ring or Exorcism of Emily Rose. He's a horror fan. So he couldn't find a book that gave him that feeling. So he asked me if I would write a book for him. So I started writing this book, and he's kind of reviewing it and whatever as I'm writing it. That was really fun to me because he wanted to be involved that way. He wanted to tell me, you know, "Mom, this part's really cool," or "This part's really scary," or, you know, whatever. And I could have made it more scary, but the mom in me kicks in and says, you know, "I don't want him learning about witchcraft and, you know, rituals and things like that, sacrifices, you know." Mm-hmm. So I had to tone some of it down before I was comfortable to send it to him. But and for all intents and purposes, that's his book. I wrote that one for him. And he thinks that's the greatest thing. He wants to see that one made into a movie. So,
and that,
you know,
one is Threshold, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you. I completely forgot to mention that. But yeah, that one is Threshold, and that's probably the next one on the charts for going for movie because he wants it so bad. But they've been great. I try to not blast their pictures and things like that all over the place because we do live in a crazy world and you just don't know, you know, you don't know who's what, where, watching, you know, and I have had weird things happen already. So I do try to kind of guard them because I am a mom first, but I let them be as involved as they want to be, you know, because it is a good thing. I would rather have them do things in the literary world than, you know, to turn out bad or whatever. It gives them something to do, and I see nothing wrong with that. As long as they're wanting to do it, I don't mind them being as involved as they want to be.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And you're blessed, yeah, to have your sons involved like that.
I am. I absolutely am.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you touched on something that I wanted to expound on a little bit more is the book signings as part of the business of getting them out there and meeting your public. How has that been?
You know what? It's honestly been one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life. I met Marie Rich, and she was married to the late Buddy Rich, the jazz drummer, probably the best drummer of all time. I got to meet his wife at a book signing, and she asked me if I would write her life story. So you don't tell, you know, you don't tell the best drummer in the life's world or, you know, world's life that, no, I'm not going to write your story. Yes, I'll write your story. So I have to go back out to Palm Springs and go catch up with her. But you never know who's going to show up at these book signings. And I've had them where people were lined up. I've had them, I told the story on another show that I did, that I went to a coffee shop across the street from a college, across the street from a courthouse. I could have had tons of people in there, but I never advertised it. So I sat there for 3 hours staring at my split ends on my hair. Because I didn't promote it. And I think I thought, you know, when I think about it, I think what I thought would happen is that people would come in to get their coffee and they'd be so excited. Oh, look, there's an author. Let's go talk to her. They don't know me from a hat rack. So, you know, why would that be exciting for them? They've never seen me. And this was, you know, when I first started. So the only person that came to that was was a journalist from the newspaper, and she was coming to do an interview and to take pictures of me signing all these books, but there was nobody there to sign books for. So
wow, talk about really a learning experience.
It was. It was probably the most humbling thing I've ever been through in my life, because this business definitely has a way of snapping you back if you start getting too big for your britches. It'll pull you back and remind you, no, you are not there yet. And so it's really fun, but I love telling that story because it's a lot of fun. I learned a lot from it, but, you know, you do have failures along the way, and if you can't laugh about it, if you get scared and you clam up, you're done. You have to laugh and you have to move on. And you know, I love to talk about it because it's not everything I've done has been great and not everything I've done has been bad. But to sit there and act like, oh, yeah, you know, nothing ever goes wrong would be a total lie, because things have gone wrong. But I've learned so much from those things. So anybody going through anything, just learn from it and don't give up. Keep moving. It'll be funny one day, I promise.
Cool. We're winding down. We got about another maybe 2 minutes. Real quick, what is where do you see yourself in 5 years, real quick?
5 years, I see myself with probably another two dozen books out. Still writing, because I love it more than anything. Well, not more than my kids or my religion or, you know, nothing like that, but I love this more than anything I've ever done in my life. So I don't see myself stopping. Hopefully I'll have a few more movies out there, because I try to write entertaining things. And the movies are, you know, I keep hearing people say they're all rebaked or, you know, whatever. So I'm trying to give new ideas. Other than that, I hope I've been able to help other authors along the way, and that we're all sharing and having fun and successes.
Excellent. Well, you have been a treasure trove of information, as I knew you would be. Again, congratulations on your success and, you know, the development. And I'm just, I'm really honored to know you, and I'm glad that we're working together on our projects. And just give us a last word to the people. Well, thank you kindly.
Thank you. A last word, keep writing, don't quit, don't stop, don't give up, because you've got a story to tell and there's people that are sitting there waiting to hear it. So tell them the story.
Exactly. Well, thank you people for tuning in. Check out Arthur Laney Smith. Check out this show. We'll be back here another time, same bat time, same bat channel. You have a good evening, Laney, and I will talk with you again soon.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.